Hello?
Hey, Fee. This is Mikey and Todd with the Horror Virgin Podcast. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
Yes, absolutely. Hi.
So do you mind if we just ask you a few questions?
Absolutely, yeah, far away.
Yeah. Well, we're big fans of you, first off. And then we did a whole episode, you were one of our favorite characters from the first film. What was the process like of getting that first role in Happy Death Day?
The first role? Are you talking about the first Happy Death Day, right?
Yes. Yeah, the very first one.
Okay. Yeah, so that process was basically really just a normal day of auditioning. But later on, I found out that the casting director, Liz Coulon, she actually thought about me for this particular role because of a certain energy I brought to the table. And I do specialize in awkward scenes because, I don't know, I just like that type of feeling, I guess. And I know it's weird, right? But I just like awkward scenes because I guess that's kind of my humor. But I went in, boom, did my work, did my homework, and went in. I did so well, and I got the call back, and I started working with them on the first day.
Yeah, that's awesome. Were you at all surprised by the success of Happy Death Day? I thought it was a good horror film, but it feels like it kind of catapulted out of just the horror audience and had like mainstream success.
Actually, yeah, I was actually surprised because when I read the script, it was fire. Like it was a good script, and it, you know, with anything, you don't want to expect too much. You know, you just keep that as a neutral and just hope for the best. And when it blew up the first one, I was like, holy crap, like this is awesome. I'm so happy for the team, you know.
This is Todd. I don't love horror movies because I really hate being scared. It's sort of the premise of our podcast. But I loved watching Happy Death Day just because it had some horror elements, but it was really comic and very funny. And your scenes were, I think they were hilarious, but they were a little awkward. You coming in the dorm room every time saying, well, the line that...
The fine vagina.
Yeah. Which
did you hit that fine vagina or what?
Yeah, exactly. My question was, how many times did you have to say that, like during filming? It felt like you just had to say that like 100,000 times, like over and over and over.
Right, I did feel like 100 times. But I'll tell you a fun fact first. So, my interpretation of the vagina word at first, I said, "Dude, did you hit that vagina or what?" And I thought that was how you pronounced it. And then I kept saying Virginie for some odd reason. And then Jessica said, "B, it's not Virginie, it's vagina." I'm like, oh, shoot, that makes sense now. Okay, yeah. What the heck? So I don't know how my brain covered that. But it's awesome. But we filmed it about, I think, let's say, you know, we do different faces in different angles. I would total it maybe like 20 times, 20, 30. It's a lot. It's quite a lot. Do they define vagina? Do they define vagina? Just over and over. Obviously, different times to take them. Well, I brought a good laugh to the table on that one. That was fun. That
yeah,
was really
absolutely.
Fun.
So when it got picked up for a sequel, what was your reaction to knowing that your role was greatly? I mean, you open up the second movie. Like, what was your reaction to that?
Well, I was, when I first got the news, I was just blown away. Like, my heart just stopped beating for a second. I was like, wait, what? It was like, it's a real moment, man. Like, literally. You know, Chris said that to me, that he believed in Chris Belen, the director. He said he believed in me, and he really just trusted me that I can do this because, you know, I guess the chemistry we have with the people. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's confidence that you have to just bring to the table and say, yo, let's do this and let's make a good second movie. And, you know, I was a little nervous, but I had to be prepared and, you know, take it on and deliver it well. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it, right?
Yeah, we saw it last night, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Actually, we were talking about it, and I was like, man, I liked Ryan's whole part of the film more than the rest of the film. I was like, I wanted the whole movie to be from your angle with them helping you out.
Yeah, because, of course, you know, because you were there when they filmed it. Like, you start off, like, the first act is, like, you. That's your story. And then it sort of shifts once they send Tree, you know, through the other, I guess, dimension thing, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's less of you. I wanted more of you at that point. So yeah, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great, but I just felt like we could have followed you more and your through line, as well as, you know, your two other science buddies. I like them a lot too.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I think that, and also thank you so much that I impacted your, you know, your feelings that much. I think I did okay, you know, but overall, I did want to see more Ryan and Ryan number two in their conflict, but I'm happy that they kind of went back to Tree because there was a lot of unanswered questions about her life and stuff. And what they brought to the table, it was actually like really like intense emotions with it. And it was great. It sent a message. And to me, how I interpreted it as like, you know, it's funny. I don't think a lot of people understood this, but in my theory or in my opinion, that, you know, when you lose your loved one, that's like the most scariest feeling, man. Like that's something that you can't ever have back, you know? And I just thought about that. I'm like, dang, this is like an emotional ride. But and I started thinking to myself, like, what's scarier than a knife through the chest? The one that someone you love that you lose, that's like a forever pain that will ever like be there, you know? So
absolutely. And honestly,
that's something scary.
There's a scene with Jessica or I should say Tree, when she's talking to her mom and sort of saying goodbye to her towards the end of the second film, that like, it was like, it was really emotional. Like I'm sitting there crying in like a horror comedy, which is an emotion I never expected to have watching that movie, but it was great. And she does carry right. very well. You're right.
And Todd, I and Jen in the podcast, we had this long debate over that question of like, which dimension would we choose to live in if we wanted to get back our loved ones or like just live like a fake life or like go back to our original dimension. We had a long, like real philosophical debate about it on this podcast.
Which is not something you expect out of a horror comedy, but like, it's awesome that you guys went there and pulled it off. I think nailed it. So let me ask you, because you had to act against yourself, and you actually sort of are a killer or one of the killers, the babyface killers in this second movie. So was it weird acting against yourself?
It was kind of weird, I'll be honest. But it was like the Lindsay Lohan movie. What's that, Freaky Friday, right?
Yeah.
Was that the movie? It's not like one of those. And you know what? I was a big fan of that movie. And it was weird at first, talking to myself, because the guy had like, he kind of looked at me. And I was like, shoot, this is kind of weird. And he had the same outfit as me at one point, too, because he had to be my stunt double. I was just tripping out all on set. But overall, it was still a bit trippy, but I had to deliver my lines and whatnot and my skill set. So, I mean, hopefully I sold that pretty well.
Oh, I think you nailed it.
Yeah, me too.
Fee, are you a big fan of horror movies yourself?
Okay, I was going to tell you that, actually, in the beginning. No, I'm not, actually.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, I was terrified. I remember the first scary movie I watched, man, when I was at my babysitter house, they told me, hey, let's watch The Ring. I'm like, oh, what's The Ring? I think it's the girl that pops out, remember, with the black hair, and she went all white, and she comes out as well, and she comes out on TV. Dude, that thing scared the crap out of me, man. Like, I couldn't even watch anything no more.
I hated that movie.
I'm actually a horror version, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you feel my pain. So like, they made me watch The Ring, and I'm just sitting there freaking out, holding like this couch pillow, trying not to like, I almost said shit myself, trying not to be so scared that I can't handle it, right? So I understand that completely.
Right.
Did you watch any horror movies to like prep for the role?
Yeah, or did they suggest any horror movies for you to watch?
Okay, no, I didn't actually. the month of October, to answer your question, no, I didn't watch any to prep for it, but one thing I can tell you guys, I don't know, I forgot what this condition called. It may be real. Like when you can't take intel, you can't watch anything intelled into your skin, like, and it makes you cringe or like makes you feel it.
Oh yeah.
I can't take that. And I got stabbed in the film, and it was just so real. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? It was great. It makes it look real in a sense. So I'm actually not a big fan of that. Like, Scream. I don't like Scream at all. I just, anything with knives and stabbing, I cannot do it.
Stabbing is too personal.
The universe put me to a film.
What was your reaction to having Ryan's role? Did you have any input in his backstory? Because, you know, at first, in the first one, he kind of seems like a big, you know, kind of a bro, like, you know, fine vagina guy. But then he's like this huge scientist and this like really smart guy, and you get to be like good guy. Did you guys have any like back and forth with that, or did they just bring you, this is our ideas for Ryan? And what was your reaction to him?
What was my reaction to his backstory, you said?
And did you help shape that at all, or did they just bring the script to you and say, here you go?
I think as an actor, you know, we create these background stories for these characters, and I created my own that, you know, I took like several years to develop this device. I studied nothing but physics and whatnot. So he actually had the idea of a background for me, and he told me a little bit about who he was as a person. So, and to me, I like science, but I don't know as much science as this kid. This kid is a genius. I'm not a genius. So I really had to study into like embodying this character as like who's this kid? You know, how much years did he study into physics? Was he a baby when he started learning physics? Like, you know, I don't know. But I did some research to try to figure out how smart this kid is. But he has some style with his smartness, as you can tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you actually came into acting in sort of a strange way. Maybe not a strange way, but you started out in dance. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. I actually started dancing in my first role that I booked as a principal performer with a Pitch Perfect 2. That was a surreal moment, man. Like, in Pitch Perfect 2, that was like my first film working.
Yeah, because you were in one of the a cappella groups that they were competing against, right?
Right, the Troublemakers, yeah.
The Troublemakers, that's what it was. Yeah. So, like, is that like, so did you just like land that role just in a chance because you could dance? And then you were on set and you were like, oh, I could act. And then you like sort of just snowballed that into other acting gigs?
So actually, I didn't even start acting yet. I did have acting as an elective in college, but I went in there because my friend told me about the opening casting call. So I went in and bam, they called me back and they put me in Troublemakers. And then that's when I thought about acting. So I dropped school and just started to pursue acting from there. So it was kind of like a good gateway opening to understand what goes on in the business, I guess. So that's what led me to... I guess where am I now?
Yeah, I mean,
it's
a foot in the door.
Yeah, Todd and I were wondering, like, what would be like your dream role?
My dream role? Mm-hmm. Oh shoot, it would be definitely a superhero movie because this superhero called in China, he's very famous in League of Legends and Han and Dota 2. His name is Su Wukong, Monkey King or whatever.
Oh yes,
and I wanted to bring him alive
Legends.
Here.
So is Todd.
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to make a living playing video games. So I understand.
That's basically it. I mean, just either that or like a secret agent. That would be cool as hell too. Like a comedic secret agent, kind of like Jackie Chan in a way, but in my own way of comedic.
just creating all these awkward situations and then beating people up to get out of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Awkward.
Sounds like my middle school experience.
Definitely, for sure. That's my DNA on that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, hey, Fee, we were so happy your character uttered the words that a baby mascot is terrible for a college.
Oh, yeah.
In the film.
Yeah.
Like, if you were going to be a serial killer or, like, you're going to be a slasher, like, what would your costume be like to stalk people and murder them?
Oh, so what would my mask be, right?
Yeah.
If I was the killer? It would actually be probably, I'll put a panda. I'll be a panda.
It's still more scary than a baby,
a panda,
I think.
Yeah, if you have like...
Actually, yeah, you're right. No, that baby is pretty scary though. That blue eyes, I can't do it. That baby's actually more scary. I can't do it. I can't even think about it right now.
The scene we're referencing is the basketball scene in the second one. And there's a mascot, the baby mascot, is like losing his mind drinking out of a bottle during that scene. And that is one of the funniest, like small, like unnoticeable performances. That guy, whoever that was crushing it.
He was crushing it when the
yeah. What was it like to film with, you know, some of these people are, you know, up and coming stars such as yourself. But I mean, in a scene like that, when you're in a basketball arena full
giant
of people.
Auditorium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is it like to act around people who are just there cheering and, you know, pretending like they're at a basketball game? Is that a strange feeling?
It is a strange feeling at first because, you know, this is my first serious, like hardcore, like role. So, you know, practicing with a lot of people, it can get like in your head a little bit. Like, shoot, are they judging me? Or, you know, you're just getting out of your head for some odd reason. And I guess we were just human, and that happens. But I kept focused, and just it felt weird, but at the same time, it felt okay. You know, like I got used to it. You know, they're like miming, not making any noise. It's just how
right.
it is. You know, the actors have to talk. So it was a little bit weird at first. And then I got the hang of it. I got the hang of it. I was, all right, let's do this. Boom, boom, boom. You know?
Oh, we think you did a great job.
Yeah. I think everyone did. Like, I was blown away with how much I loved the first one. And I really, really enjoyed the second one as well. Are there any plans to make a third one that you've heard yet? To make it a trilogy?
I haven't heard of a third one yet, no.
Because it sort of sets up at the end, especially the end credits scene.
I hope there's a third one. Jesus. Oh, yeah. Rachel. Yeah, she's Danielle. She's the one that's captured in the whole scenario. But I think that, you know, Christopher Landon made it to the point where it's like it could happen a third one, or it's just funny to put her, you know, it would be a funny comedic like ending to put her in it, you know. So I don't really know what he's going up with right now. So yeah.
I really feel like Danielle's performance in both of them is maybe a little underrated because I think she has excellent comic timing in both of the movies that I've seen her in. She's just next level funny.
Yeah, Danielle, she is some funny stuff, man. She and she brings to light. Dean Bronson is actually funny too. I like Dean Bronson a lot. Steve Zeiss. I don't know how to pronounce
it. He was the dean.
He was the dean. Yes.
Yeah, he was awesome, and we were calling his two security guards Humpty and Dumpty last night.
We called the security guards Humpty and Dumpty.
they were great, man. They all did great.
Yeah, my favorite part when they bust in the room. One of my favorite parts is when they try busting in to stop Sissy from working, and then they took the Sissy away, and Siraj Sharma, who plays the Margosh, he said, "Hey, don't touch that beefcake." He called the beefcake out of improv. That was so brilliant.
Oh wait, that wasn't scripted at all. That's awesome.
That was improvised, but that was pretty awesome.
Oh, well, we'd like to say thank you again for giving us your time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me on your podcast, and I can't wait to hear it, man. And you guys have a good day.
You
and
too.
And I'll be blessed, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You too, man. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I hope you get huge roles in the future.
Yeah, we hope
awesome.
To see you more. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
All right, so that was our interview with Fivu from Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day 2.
Woo!
Mikey, he was really fucking cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. He seemed really down to earth, really awesome. And I'm glad I got to ask all my questions about the words fine vagina.
Well, Jen wasn't here to stop in. Stop us from doing that. Oh, man, that was awesome. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this little bonus interview episode with Fivu. He was awesome. Really a great sport about us being idiots.
Yeah, he was so fun.
Oh, my God. He is great. All right, guys. Well, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a great week, nerds. Boom. Got
oh,
all.
Oh, wow.
Ha, 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 ha.
Nerds.